Jesus, we honor you. We acknowledge you. We declare you are the Lord, our Lord, the Lord of this ministry, the Lord of this Bible college, the Lord of this night in this place, and we love you. Jesus, we give you the honor and the praise because we know that the Father has a perfect will for this night. Holy Spirit, move freely in our midst with the anointing of God to accomplish what the Father wants. Jesus, we thank you that we stand here. By your stripes we were healed. You've given us the peace that passes all understanding. We are strengthened by that joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we honor you tonight. So, Father, we rejoice in knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are Lord, our Savior, our Father, and our God. And to you, Jesus, all the glory for everything that is accomplished tonight. In your wonderful name, Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, tonight is TH-105, week number 4, class number 1. We've got a lot of ground to cover, hallelujah, but we shall cover it. Now, what we want to do is review briefly to lead into what we want to cover tonight. It's very important. Now, if you have a marker, you can put it in Colossians chapter 2, chapter 1. And because we're working out of Colossians, and one of the things that we're talking about here is taking heed to the ministry that God's called you to fulfill. Every one of us has a ministry. This is what we've been talking about. And before identifying a ministry, it's important for us to realize that there is a purpose for the ministry and that God has an expectation that we are going to discover our ministry and fulfill it. That it's not a matter of a haphazard approach, that God needs us to do this. And as we've been going through Colossians, we've been seeing from Scripture many things related to our calling and how important it is that we discover and fulfill it. Now, briefly reviewing from last week, our ministry is first built spiritually and then naturally. We have there are many times in the body of Christ where you see Christians who are trying to build a ministry naturally before they build it spiritually. This is where a lot of ministries make their mistakes. One of the reasons why a lot of pastors get involved in big major building programs that puts the congregation in a tremendous amount of debt and so forth. But if we focus on the spiritual development, the natural development is going to be a whole lot easier, and it's going to come a lot... the approach to the natural is going to be a whole lot different because the spiritual perspective we'll have is going to be a lot more clearer, and therefore the things of the natural, we'll get the wisdom of God on how to fulfill them and what to do, so on and so forth. And when it comes to the spiritual building and the spiritual construction, we have four basic construction materials: prayer, which is primarily praying in tongues; God's Word, the reading, meditation, and confession of the Word; worship, which is primarily the private worship, what we do when we're away from church; and then fasting. And all of these things, you know, we've either talked about or we will talk about later on in the various courses here in the school. The more time that we spend with these construction materials, the more our ministry is going to be developed and built in the realm of the Spirit, enabling it to manifest in fulfillment in the realm of the natural. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, it says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." Talking about us receiving teaching from Jesus primarily is what that's making reference to. Now let's talk about, you know, just real quickly why that's important. Well, Jesus is the one who has given us our ministry. Jesus is the one who has called us to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, etc., and so forth. Jesus is the one who has established all of these ministries for the body of Christ. Therefore, Jesus is the one who has the responsibility of instructing us on how we are supposed to fulfill that ministry. Now, he does this through the Holy Spirit. Now, think of it this way. If we try to fulfill our ministry without going to the Holy Spirit to find out how Jesus wants it done, then we're doing it on our own. We're trying to create something out of our own effort, create our own anointing, if you will, to develop our ministry. Doesn't matter if you're called to be an apostle, an evangelist, or what. We are trying to do it on our own. Therefore, we have a responsibility to spend time with the Holy Spirit to receive from the Holy Spirit what Jesus wants us to know about our ministry, how we're to fulfill it, so on and so forth. The teaching that is done by the Holy Spirit is done primarily through tongues. As we pray in tongues, He is able to give to us the understanding of our calling and so forth. And you know, the thing about your ministry is that it came from God, therefore it's going to be fulfilled according to God. Meaning, He's going to give you everything that you need to fulfill this ministry. It doesn't matter what you're called to be. And the only way that we are going to learn how to fulfill our ministry is if we go to class. Now think about this. In the natural, people go to a college. Now I know you're here at a college tonight, but let's just think about any college, any university. People go to college. They choose the days and times of their classes. Anybody ever gone to like a secular university or college or another school, and they present to you, you know, you choose what course you or what kind of a degree you want or whatever, and then they tell you, well, if you want to receive this particular degree, here are all the courses you have to take and you have to pass them. So you have this catalog that lists all the days and the times of the courses that are being offered, and then you choose when you want to go to class. And you will attend the class. You'll go to school and sit through the teaching, even though you may be tired, even though you may be bored. I remember I've had teachers in schools that were so absent. One time, I remember I was taking a computer programming class. And the teacher, this guy was he must have had an IQ of about 500. And he also had a speech impediment. So as he would stand teaching with this speech impediment, explaining these things, now this is an entry-level computer programming class. He was talking way above our heads, and we had such a horrible time understanding him. Well, I thought it was me. I thought, you know, I'm just not catching this, no matter. So I remember one day we were in lab, and we're working on our programming and so forth, and doing test runs through the school's computer. And we got to talking, some of the students, and I, you know, I don't know who brought it up, but it was we brought up the issue of, well, can you understand him when he talks? And come to find out, nobody could understand what he was saying. It wasn't just me. But yet we kept going to class and kept going to class. And the end of that story, at the beginning of the school year, or at the beginning of that course, he already had handed out, here's the total number of points available. And you get X number of points for this test, X for this test, X for, you know, this paper, and so on and so forth. And, you know, so many points for this. So you could track your progress, and you knew going into the final exam what your potential was for a grade. You knew it. So here we are, final exam, and I knew the absolute best that I could do would be a low B. I knew that was it. So, you know, took the test and, you know, waited, and they mailed our grades to us. And I got an A in the class. And I'm thinking, this is impossible. Mathematically, there is no way I could have gotten an A in this class. So what happened, I met some of the other students that were in the class, and I said, what did you get for a final grade? And they said, A. And I said, I got an A, and there's no way I could have. And they looked at me and they said, hey, everybody in the class got an A. And I said, well, how was that? They said, because some of the people in the class went to the administration and complained about the way it was being taught. And administration gave everyone in the class an A. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I still don't know how to program a computer. Anyway, I went to that class, even though I could not understand. It was boring from that perspective, trying to follow what this guy was saying. But I still went because I wanted to pass the class. I wanted to get a good grade. You'll go to class even if you're hungry. If things have come up and, you know, you might grab you a couple of Zesta crackers or something. But, I mean, you'll go to class even if you're hungry. And you'll sit through these boring classes and wish you were doing something else. But you will still go. You'll rearrange your daily schedule to be there on time, to spend that time in class. You might even rearrange your work schedule if possible so that you will be in class. And you will prepare for class. You will take your textbook. You will take ink pens. You will take note paper. You might take a computer. I mean, whatever it is. But you will prepare for class and go to class prepared with everything you need. You'll spend hours away from class in your study and in your homework. Tests are a priority when you take classes in school. And some professors, you know, they don't allow your tests or exams to be made up. So, in other words, you're going to bust your chops to be there for that test. And you realize that if you don't attend class, you can't learn. If you can't learn, you can't pass. If you don't pass, you can't graduate. And you'll do this from anywhere to 4 to 8 years to try and get your degree, depending upon what you're studying for. And all of this is done by people to be able to accomplish something in this world, in this life. You know, I want to be a mechanical engineer. And people work so hard. I worked so hard all these years. And, you know, now I'm going out to try and get a job in this. And this is a principle that exists. I mean, think about it. You know, from the moment you start in, you know, like first grade, for the next anywhere from, you know, 16, 18, 20 years of your life, you're going to class so that you can have a better life. At least that's what's drilled into us. Now, it's not wrong to do all of these things, but think about it. Why should any less effort be put forth to do what is necessary so that you can fulfill what God's called you to do? Let this sink in. We take such a haphazard approach to our ministry calling. You know, we'll bust our tails. You know, if you have a job and they tell you, listen, we can promote you to the next level of management or, you know, vice president or whatever, supervisor. But the thing is, we need you to have more schooling. You ever been in a job like that where you need more schooling to qualify for promotion? And so what happens? A lot of people, they'll go to night school. So they qualify for the promotion because they want to accomplish something in this life, get a better job or, you know, higher paying position, so on and so forth. Yet when it comes to the things of God and our ministry calling, I mean, something that's literally going to carry us through into eternity, something that will stand before God and give an account for, we take a haphazard approach to it. Show up at church when we feel like it. Show up for prayer when we feel like it. Spend more time in front of television instead of, you know, in front of God's Word. And you guys understand what I'm saying here. And this is the pattern in the body of Christ. Then people fuss and complain because God's not using them in ministry. People have come to me in the past over the years wanting me to, you know, ordain them for ministry. They say, well, what are you doing in ministry? Nothing. But they want to be ordained for ministry. Well, you can't do that. I mean, it's done. You know, there are places where you can send in for your mail order application and get an ordination. But what I'm getting at is we take a haphazard approach, a lackadaisical approach to discovering our ministry and fulfilling our ministry. And then we expect God to use us in ministry. We expect that God, okay, maybe He won't use me just like He used the Apostle Paul, but maybe He'll use me half as much. Or the Apostle Peter or somebody like that. You know, maybe He'll not use me in such a grandiose fashion as He used some of those guys, but He ought to be using me some way. And God's up in heaven saying, wait a minute. You know, you work so hard to go to school and go to college, and you work so hard on your job, your secular job, and you're bored with your job. You want to be full-time in ministry. You want to serve me. You want to get out there and do whatever it is you're called to do. But you're not 100% sure what you're called to do. And if you do know what you're called to do, you don't spend enough time with me to figure out what you're supposed to do in what you're called to do. And yet you want me to give you the approval to quit your secular job so you can go full time in ministry. And what are you going to do? Well, God, I don't know, but I figured you'd open some doors. And God says, what? The doors that are open to you right now are the door to my throne of grace. To come in here and spend time in my presence to find out what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to fulfill this calling. So you've kind of got things out of order here. You want me to use you before spiritually you're in a position to where I can use you. And so here we have it's like two different patterns. The world's pattern and God's pattern, the spiritual pattern, to discover our ministry and so forth. And we work so hard in the world to become something. Yet with God, we don't put forth the same kind of diligence. Now, When it comes to spending time with the Lord, look at your prayer time. Consider it as class time with the Lord. The Holy Spirit being your professor. Professor Holy Ghost. You should be serious enough about this that you actually schedule your class time. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So, you know, really, from that perspective, from what we just read there, it's almost like God is saying, you're foolish if you don't do this. Because I sure... Listen, guys, what I'm sharing with you right now, this is one of the main reasons why a lot of Christians never discover their ministry. Or if they do discover it, they never begin operating in it. It's because they want God to move them before they've been moved deeper into God. They're wanting Him to just, wave a spiritual magic wand over them and make them instant ministry success. But they don't want to pay the price of spending time in His presence to receive from Him what He needs them to receive. Your schedule, as far as your class time with Him, your schedule should be a priority. Now, if you don't attend class, why should you expect to be graduated by the Lord to the next level? You know, in the academic world, if you don't finish, I'll say it this way, though this doesn't hold true 100% of the time, I'll just illustrate. If you do not graduate with your associate's degree, then why should the school promote you to the next level to work on your bachelor's degree? And if you don't finish your bachelor's degree, why should you be allowed to graduate with your master's? And if you don't finish your master's, why should you be allowed to graduate with your doctorate? Well, see, using that as an illustration, it's the same principle in the body of Christ. And the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, us being changed from glory to glory. Well, if you don't do what's necessary to graduate from glory level 1, why should God start using you at glory level 2? And if you don't do what's necessary to graduate from glory level 2, why should God promote you and use you at glory level 3? It's the same principle, the exact same concept. Now, let's talk about enrolling in the University of Edification. Now, this is just something that a term that I've coined because we can relate to this kind of structure. And so for clarity, again, we're going to redefine our prayer time and call it class time. Now, the time that you spend with God to discover, confirm, and be spiritually equipped to fulfill your ministry calling, this class time can include any of the combination really of the following: prayer, which primarily praying in tongues, worship, private worship, without the music, without the tapes, and the Word. Reading, meditating, confessing God's Word. And it is so important to schedule your class time. Now, take a look at the example that you have, where it says University of Edification. It says, this is a sample prayer schedule for a person getting 18 hours of prayer each week. This is only an example. You should adjust your own time according to your personal schedule. Be flexible and keep in mind that it may take you a few weeks and several prayer schedules before you come up with one that works. The more time you can schedule for prayer, the more benefits you'll reap and the quicker you will see your ministry develop. That last part, I just grab a hold of that. The more you're able to do this, the more benefits you'll reap and the quicker you'll see your ministry develop. This is a guaranteed, absolutely, positively guaranteed. If you do this, you're going to see your ministry develop quicker. And here's the thing. In the realm of the Spirit, there are some people, and I see this from my position as a pastor, there are some people who are accelerating quicker into their calling than others. And even though the folks that are accelerating haven't been around that long, and the others have, the ones that are being accelerated are the ones that God will tell me to use, or the ones that God will have me ask come in and preach and minister from, you know, outside this church and so on and so forth, because spiritually God's promoting them. But then you have the other folks that have been around for a long time and they can't understand how come they're not being used. Well, why aren't you asking me? Or how come I'm not? Or God, why not? And the thing is, it isn't about how long you've been around. It's how God is promoting you, how you are, I'll say it a different way, how you are promoting yourself spiritually as a result of your spiritual growth and maturity. That's why I say here, the more time you can schedule for prayer, this class time, the more benefits you'll reap and the quicker you will see your ministry develop. See, in the natural, you cannot accelerate physical growth. But in the realm of the spirit, you can accelerate spiritual growth. I mean, when you're, you know, a 1 year old, you're not going to do, I don't care what you do. I don't care how many drugs you take and pump into a little kid. That kid is not going to go from, you know, 18 inches tall to, you know, 6 foot five in 1 week. It's just not going to happen. But in the realm of the spirit, you can actually accelerate your spiritual growth, and it's all based upon how much time you spend in class with the Holy Spirit. Now, in this example, this person, as you can see, you know, there's the sleep time, the schedule, it starts at midnight. That's at the top of the chart, and then Sunday through Saturday from left to right at the top of the chart. So this person sleeps, and on Sunday, they get up, you know, like about 5:30 or 6, something like that, and they spend an hour of time, an hour in class time. Then they get ready and they go to church. Then there's free time between church and the Sunday evening service, if they have a Sunday evening service. And they, an hour before they leave to go to church for the Sunday night service, they spend another hour in class time. Then when church is over, there's some free time. And before they go to bed that night, they spend another hour in class. Then Monday through Friday, they have a job. Well, they get up and spend an hour in class with the Holy Spirit every morning before they go to work. Then they go to work and they come home. Then there's some free time, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. There is some free time. Then they spend an hour in class before they go to bed. Well, on Wednesdays, it's a little bit different because they have church on Wednesday nights. So they come home from work. There's some free time to go to church, free time after church. Then right before they go to bed, they spend another hour in class with the Holy Spirit. On Saturday, they get up. They spend 3 hours in class with the Holy Spirit. Then they have all day free time, do what they want. Then at night, before they go to bed, they spend 2 more hours in class. Now, this is only an example. This is not for every person. This is, you know, Joe, whoever he is. But this is given to you as an example of how to fill out the blank schedule that you have. And before you fill out the one that you have, I would encourage you, make a whole bunch of copies. Keep the copy we've given you as a master. Because inevitably what will happen is you'll start to fill this out and you'll figure out, oh, wait a minute, I can't do that. Erase, you know, mark out, and redo it. What I suggest is to not just, you know, jump into this and fill it out tonight when you get home. Here's one way to approach it that might help you. Take a copy of this. And for the next week, you could wait and start on Sunday, because that's where this starts. Wait and start on Sunday, and then just document hour by hour what you do in a week. Just write down. So, you know, I slept from this time to this time, and, you know, got up at 6 or 7 or whatever you do. Just, you know, got up, and the time that you spend getting ready to go to work, just write in there. Got ready for work, you know, drove to work, spent time at work, and then from noon to 1, just write, you know, lunch. See what I'm saying? You just write whatever you do, just document your time for a week. And now remember, this is supposed to be an average week. Don't get all holy. Just because what I mean by that is, some people, it's like, oh my goodness, now I got to pray, because if I fill this out the way I do things now, there's not going to be anything on here about prayer. It's just going to be, you know, playing tiddlywinks and Monopoly, watching television, things like that. Be honest with this. Don't create an illusion of something that isn't there. Be honest. And then after a week, you can sit back and take a look at this, and you're going to know how your time is spent, and you can begin at that point making some adjustments. Now, if you feel confident enough to do this, you can work on creating your university class time, University of Edification class time. I mean, you can do it tonight, do it tomorrow, whatever. But if you think it will help you to take the first week and just document everything that you do, fine. That's perfectly all right. It'll give you the big picture of how you spend your life in a week. And then afterward, you can start developing what you believe will be a plan. So you come up with this schedule, your class schedule. Just like you're going to a secular school, only this is University of Edification Professor Holy Ghost. Same concept. So now you're scheduling your class time to be with him. Now remember, in the realm of the natural, you know you have to be there. Well, in the realm of the spirit, take the same approach. I've got to be there. I know I have to do this. So you schedule your class time. And just like in the natural, you know, you can't call the professor and say, listen, I was invited to a barbecue, so can we reschedule class? In the realm of the spirit, you do have a little more flexibility. However, guard your class time as much as possible and make as few changes as you can possibly make. Now, what will happen is you'll come up with what you think is the master plan, and then you start to implement this master plan. You may find out, I need to change this around, or I need to make an adjustment here. That's okay, because this is something most people have never done. So therefore, you're learning as you do this. And you may look at this and think, my goodness, on this example, this guy's got 18 hours. There's no way I could do 18 hours in a week. I mean, okay, we're not after 18 hours, all right? What we're doing is trying to help each person establish their own class time with the Holy Spirit, because again, guys, most Christians don't do this. Seriously, when I share things like this, most Christians have never heard of doing anything like this or a variation on this theme. This is just a foreign concept. This goes back to why it is so many Christians don't know what they're called to do and don't know how to fulfill what God's called them to do. We are doing our best to break that cycle in our own lives so that we can discover and fulfill everything that God's called us to do. So you make extra copies, and you can use a pencil so that you can erase and change it. Or you might want to use crayons or colored pencils to kind of shade some of it in. You could, as you do this, you know, keep it with you throughout the day as a reminder. Whatever's going to work for you, that's what you want to do. And determine how many hours of class you want to spend each week. Do you want to do 18? You want to do 20? You want to do 50? Do you want to do 10? I mean, come to a conclusion as to, okay, now what kind of a goal here? And also, I would say, you know, maybe pray and ask God, like, how many hours of class time do you want me to start with? And you say, yeah, but if I do that, what if God tells me, you know, 80 hours? He's not. Well, what if he tells me 50? He's not. You know why? Because he knows if he tells you, let's say that in God's mind, he knows that you eventually need to spend, you know, 22 hours a week in class with him. But he knows if he tells you 22 hours right now, it's going to blow you out of the water. And you'll think, God, there's no way. There's no way. And you'll get maybe frustrated, throw up your hands and quit. So he might say, all right, look, you've not done this on a consistent basis so far. So here's what I want to do. You're asking me how much time I want you to have in class with the Holy Spirit on a weekly basis. I want you to start off with 5 hours a week. That's what I'm telling you right now. Now, I'm not speaking for God to you. I'm just saying, you know, the what ifs here. And God may say, well, I want you to start with 10 or 12. Or he might tell you 18 or whatever it would be. But determine what you'd like to do and then pray about it and get, you know, clarification and direction from God. This example, again, in your outline, it says that this example is for 20 hours. It's for 18 hours, for a person, you know, giving 18 hours of time. Class time is when you're alone with the Lord, okay? It does not include the time that you pray while you're at work or taking a shower, doing housework or whatever. You could look at that as homework or extra credit, because it's impossible to pray in the Spirit and that be wasted time. But what we're after is time where you just sit down. You're just, or, you know, you're alone in your basement, just walking around the basement, praying in the Spirit. But it's time where you have separated yourself from driving, from housework, from these other things, to get in there with God, to get in there with Professor Holy Ghost, to receive instruction from him in the way that God said he would give that instruction to you in his word. Try your best to make 20 hours per week your goal. Now, again, you may not be able to start off with that until you make some changes in your life and in your schedule and so forth. You may have to eliminate some things. You know, well, I bowl 3 times a week and I have pole vaulting class and I have, you know, well, you may have to change some things. Remember, we're serving the Lord. This is his calling on us, and he needs us to fulfill this for him. And for some reason,
And I've heard this from a lot of people. 20 hours per week, which comes out to about 3 hours per day, seems to be the level at which results start to accelerate. They get multiplied in a person's life. However, 20 hours per week is not a law, and do not look at it as a doctrinal law that each person's to obey. I really can't give you a good explanation as to why 20 hours per week seems to be a threshold that once people cross into that 20 hours or more per week, it's like their spiritual acceleration takes place. I don't understand the fullness of that yet. But you should try, you know, for at least 10 hours a week. 10 hours a week, that's just barely over 1 hour per day. 7 days a week, and you're giving a total of 10 hours, so you're giving, you know, roughly, you know, an hour, 10, 15, 20 minutes per day. But remember, you can split that in half. I mean, however you work it, as far as your schedule is concerned. But ask God how many hours He wants from you. Now, what's going to be interesting is that every few months, you may have to go back and create a whole new schedule. You know, you may have job changes. Or you may have your church, they may change some things. You might be asked to do certain things in your church. You get more involved in your own ministry. If you start operating in your own ministry, there could be changes in that would necessitate you coming up with another schedule. And here's the thing. Coming up with a new schedule doesn't mean less time. It might mean the same amount of time, just put in different places. Or it could be more time. One of the things that I heard someone talk about, and that is, you know, they wanted more time for prayer. And the answer the Lord gave them essentially was, give me what you can give me now, and I will begin to show you how much more time you have. And so he did, and he didn't think he had much time at all to give to the Lord because of everything he was doing during the week, but he did that. So he gave the Lord what he felt he could give the Lord. And as he did, over time, the Lord began to show him more spaces of time in his day and in his week that he could give to the Lord. And he said, I didn't realize I had this extra time until I gave the Lord what I could give him, what I thought was all I could give. And then he began to show me how there were other things in my life that could be restructured, rearranged. And one of the things that I can tell you from experience is this. As you do this, and the Lord begins to show you how you can change certain things in your life to give more time, the changes that you make won't be as hard as what you might think. See, I can remember years ago, I liked to watch a lot of television. And I knew I had to break free from that. And so I can remember sitting in the living room, I'm watching a movie. I don't know, it might have been John Wayne or something. It was just a movie, okay? And I'm watching this, and it wasn't a bad movie. You know, it was pretty interesting. And I grabbed a hold of the remote and turned it off. Because I knew if I cannot break the hold a movie has in my life, I'm never going to go further with God. So literally, right smack dab it, and I did it on purpose. I sat down and watched this movie and got interested in it. And then turned it off in the middle and walked away to spend time with God. Because I knew if I could not break through something like that, then I would never be able to go further with God. Anytime a good movie comes on, anytime a good ball game comes on, I'll be stuck right there and I can't do anything. And so I did that about two or three times. And this is just me now. But, man, it broke that. It broke it. And the time I had with God, It was like, I'll say it this way, it was like it released an anointing in me to not be as attracted to television anymore. And I can tell you right now, yeah, I do watch television, but I spend so much less time watching TV. I mean, I have an office at home. The way things are right now, I have an office at home in the basement. And I absolutely cannot stand it when the television's on during the day. I don't want to hear it. I don't know. When the grandson is over, a little bitty kid, and he might want to watch like a little Christian video or something, okay, I can make an allowance for that. But otherwise, I don't want talk shows. I don't want game shows. I don't want anything on. Nothing. I can't stand it. Well, see, that's a change that God has done in me. And technically what he's done in me, he and I did it in me together. Okay? Now, what I'm getting at is this. I said all that to reiterate how that the changes God wants you to make, you can make them, and he will show you how to make them, and things that maybe you need to remove from your life, you can do it, and you're going to find out if you begin applying these principles that I'm sharing right now tonight, you'll get to the point to where making the arrangements, it's not going to be as difficult as what it seems. And some of the things that you think, oh, I could never give this up or I could never quit that, you'll find out you can. Because God's presence in you will enable you to be strengthened to do this so that you can spend more time. I mean, think about it like this. God needs you and me to fulfill our ministry. He needs us to do this. He's in heaven. He needs us to do this. Now, if we don't do it, there's a part of kingdom purpose that is not going to be accomplished here in this world. So therefore, it is to his benefit to release as much anointing in us as we need to break certain behavior patterns, to break certain habits, so that we will desire to spend more time with him and greater anointings can be released in us to fulfill what he's called us to do. Hey, think about it like this. It isn't that God is holding back. I mean, just imagine. God wants to release through us blind eye opening anointing. Because he knows that if we will get in there and stay with him in his presence to the point that a greater anointing begins to flow, as a greater, his power begins to flow, he knows that people are going to start coming to Jesus Christ. He knows this. It's the most effective form of evangelism, born out in the ministry of Jesus, born out in the ministry in the book of Acts. So, he wants this to happen for us. It isn't that he doesn't. And this is the thing, as the body of Christ, we need to understand, he wants that to flow through us. But it's not that he is holding back as much as it is, we're not giving him the opportunity to cause it to flow through us. I mean, think about this. All, it's like on the inside of us, we have all of this, junk. I mean, it's just like, hey, you ever watch, remember that TV series, Sanford and Son? Remember that? And remember how, like, their front yard, just junk everywhere, all right? Just imagine that's the way it is on the inside. And God's trying to release his anointing through us, but all this stuff's blocking it. So what we've got to do then is get into his presence, spend time in class, the University of Edification, and through that, this junk begins to be removed. And the more junk that's removed, the more his power and anointing begins to flow through us, see? So he's wanting this, and he's wanting to see it happen. So how do we spend this class time? Well, each individual class time, block of class time, whether it's 1 hour or 2 hours, whatever it would be for you, however you come up with this, can include any or all of the following. Prayer, you can spend the whole time in prayer, praying in tongues now, primarily, not exclusively. You can spend the whole time in private worship. You can spend the whole time in the Word, confessing the Word, and so forth. And again, I want to emphasize, train yourself to pray very softly, barely a whisper, in tongues, while you read your Bible. Because I have found that when I do this, it's like it accelerates what the Holy Spirit is able to do with the Word we're sowing in us. And it also enables Him to give us a greater revelation and understanding of what is contained in Scripture. You can listen to a teaching tape. And this, I would say, if you're going to do it this way with a teaching tape, it's going to take more than just a 1 hour block. Because the first time you sit down with your Bible and a teaching tape and your pen and paper or your computer, whatever you do, and you start praying in tongues, following along in Scripture, and the Lord begins to speak to you, the Holy Spirit begins to give you things, you're going to be stopping that tape or stopping that CD and taking notes. And sometimes he'll take you off in a different direction. He'll say something like, now, did you hear what they just said? What that guy just said? And you said, yeah. He said, all right, now, remember what I said over in Colossians this and 1 Corinthians that. Yeah, okay, now turn to this because I want to show you some things about this. We'll get back to that tape later. So you may not want to do the tape thing unless you've got at least 2 hours blocked aside. Sit at a table with your Bible, tape player, pen, your CD player, whatever. Follow along as the preacher is teaching. Pray in tongues while you do this. But I don't recommend you use up your whole class time with tapes. In other words, it's always a tape thing, all right? Or if you got like a 5-hour class time blocked off, don't use the whole 5 hours for tapes. You know, incorporate just some word time. Incorporate just some praying in tongues time. But always, always, whether you're using a tape or a teaching tape or not, always keep a pen and paper or a tape recorder or be at your computer to document what the Lord teaches and speaks to you during class. He's going to talk to you and He's going to give you instructions. Documenting like this is absolutely critical because He will give you instructions about your ministry. He'll tell you what to do at this point. He'll tell you what to prepare for in the future. He will warn you of attacks coming to stop you. He will explain, He'll tell you the kind of people to approach. I mean, just He will give you the clear instructions on what to do in this. So always be prepared to somehow document what He speaks to you. And class time is absolutely not book time or magazine time. What's a good Christian book? Good Christian magazine? That's not what this is for. This is time to be with the Lord. Don't let things move you away from class. In Colossians chapter 1, not Ephesians chapter 1, but Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Don't be moved away from this. And the things that could move you away can be found in Scripture. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is talking about the sower sows the word. And He makes this statement here that when the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, where it's sown on stony ground. When they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, but endure for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, other things here that could draw you away. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. In other words, things from the outside, things from the inside. Stuff comes up. You know, well, I can't do it now because of this. Can't do it now before. I'm promising you right now, when you start to do this with your schedule, Satan's going to come up with a schedule of his own to try to pull you away from your class time with the Holy Ghost. And this is where you've got to fight the good fight of faith with all diligence. Because remember, listen, guys, there is a Christ type of anointing that is awaiting for every single one of you. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, right now, as you hear this, there is a Christ type of anointing that is waiting to be released into you, to flow through you, to accomplish the fullness of what God's called you to do. Now, granted, if a legitimate reason comes up to miss class, reschedule it for another time as soon as you possibly can to maintain the number of hours that God wants you to give. Listen, let's break at this point, take 10 minutes, come back, and we'll continue on.